one of the saddest things to see is a man or woman that come from a Christian home experiencing various setbacks. One of the saddest things to see is to see a person who was raised right doing wrong. Many Christians that come from good homes often experience bad setbacks. Why Christians that come from good homes experience bad setbacks? Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 33, and we'll take a look in the book.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many think you were on it.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert continues his series of messages on See You at the Top. Now get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. of Bible Way Community Baptist Church, Irving, takes a look in the book.
This morning, I want to talk to you on the subject, how to come back from a setback. How to combat from a setback. High five somebody and tell them Pastor gonna talk about how to combat from a setback. How to combat from a setback. We are coming now to the end of our back to school series on See You at the Top. One of the common things that we have noticed as we have been going through this book of 2 Chronicles is those kings that obeyed the word of God and put God first, they stay at the top. Have we noticed that?
Amen.
But those kings that do not obey God's word and don't put God first but put some other stuff ahead of God, they fall to the bottom. Case in point of that is in our story today. Today I want to look at this king called Manasseh. His story is a strange story. Very strange story. If you look at verse 1, the scripture says Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. Now, that's strange. It ain't every day you see a boy 12 years old becoming king. And then the Bible says he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. Now, that's even strange. You know, we read about King Uzziah reigned 52 years. But this guy here done beat all the kings of Judah. He reigned 55 years. Now that's very strange, particularly in his day. Are you aware that back in Bible days, 45 was the age that people normally would live to, the age of 45? I know that today we are living to 70s and 80s and 90s. Some folks every now and then you even hear about 100. But back in Bible days, if a person could reach 45, that was real old. Because they didn't have modern medicine, modern technology. And so this man, not only did he live past the age that most people lived back in Bible days, he even held on to a job for 55 years. Now that's very strange. Also it's strange in verse number 2 and 3, it says, but he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abomination of the nation whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel, for he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had broken down. He raised up altars for the Baals and made wooden images, and he worshiped all the host of heaven, and he served them. Now that's very strange that this boy would serve idol gods rather than the true and the living God. It's very strange because notice who daddy this boy was. Who was his daddy? His daddy was Hezekiah. You know Hezekiah. We've been talking about Hezekiah for the last 2 weeks. Hezekiah was the man that God used to turn the nation from idols back to the true and the living God. Remember Hezekiah, the first month, the first year when he became king, the Bible says he reopened the house of God. They had shut the house down. They had shut God's house down. But Hezekiah opened it back up. Well, yeah. Hezekiah was a man of God. He put God first in everything that he done. And the Bible said because he put God first in everything that he done, God blessed him in everything that he done. But the Bible lets us know that Hezekiah, homeboy, began to worship idol gods rather than worshiping the true and the living God. Now that's very strange. Oh, let me help you out today, parents. It's no guarantee just because you raise your child in church that they're going to believe in the God of the church. It's no guarantee, parents, that even though you make them read their Bible, even though you can make them read their Bible, you can't make them believe in the God of the Bible. No guarantee that just because they come to church every Sunday, that when they grow up, that they're going to continue to go back to church.
You're right about it.
Every Sunday. This let me know that parents, you can be doing the right thing, but your children can grow up and do the wrong thing. Why is that? Because of the power and the freedom of choice. God has made all of us with the ability to choose our own way. You know, old folks used to say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it. You can lead a person to Christ, but you can't make them accept Jesus.
You're right.
As they personal savior. You know, I would have understood this if the Bible said that this boy was the son of Ahab and Jezebel. I would have understood him acting like that.
Yeah,
because he saw Jezebel acting all kooky and crazy. He saw Ahab acting all kooky and crazy. And you know what old folks say? A monkey see, monkey do. Because he saw his parents act crazy, you could expect him to start acting crazy. But he didn't see his daddy acting crazy.
Amen. Go ahead, preach up.
But he's acting crazy here. I don't know if y'all feeling me this morning. I said, this boy's acting crazy. And that's the thing about sin. Sin makes you do stuff that's crazy.
Yes,
are y'all with me this morning?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Listen. Every time I scratch my head, I want you to say, that's crazy. All right? I'm going to work my way through the text, and I'm going to show you some crazy stuff. And every time I scratch my head, because the thing about sin, man, it make you scratch your head. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you hear about what folks done got into, it just make you and make you say
that's crazy.
Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 3, he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had broken down.
That's crazy.
He raised up the altars for Baal and made wooden images, and he worshiped all the host of heaven and served them.
That's crazy.
Did you get it? He tore down what his daddy had built up, and he built up what his daddy had tore down. Verse number 5, the Bible says, verse 4, he also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. Notice, he built altars inside the church. He built an altar for all of the other idol gods. But where is he building them at? Right inside of the church. Listen. If I'm going to sin, I'm not going to sin in the church.
Huh?
If a person's going to sin right in the church, that's crazy. Look, the Bible says he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Look, he's taking it from the inside of the church house, now taking it to the outside of the church. Right there in the courtyard of the church. Right in the parking lot. Right on the side of the church. He's making it convenient. Okay, you don't want to come in the church? I got it set up for you outside the church. In other words, they're sinning now around. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to sin, I'm not going to sin around the church.
All right.
Somebody that's sinning out there on the parking lot around the church.
Praise.
Look what the Bible says, verse 6. Also, he caused his son to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Now he's getting into child sacrifice. You know, when you get into sin, God starts cutting off your blessings. And so as a result, you start trying to come up with other ways to get blessed. And so now he's copying one of the world's ways of trying to get blessed. He's trying to get into child sacrifice. The world said if you would just offer your son to Molech, there was a statue of an idol god called Molech, and they would set the god basically on fire, and all you had to do just put your son in his arms there that was scalding hot, and it would fry your son to death, hoping that you would have pleased Molech, this idol god. You see this? See, when you get in sin, you start getting desperate, and you start doing desperate things. So this man started offering not one of his children. The Bible says he caused his sons. He's throwing away his children in order to get blessed.
That's crazy.
Notice, he didn't stop there. He doesn't go on the wrong road, and look where he's going. He's practicing soup sand. Looking just for something to soothe the pain now. Because when you done got in sin and your blessings done got cut off, then it's kind of hard to start coping with everyday life.
Yeah. Right.
And so you start looking for anything to kind of soothe the pain. Even if it means I have to go to a soothsayer to do it. He's going now, church boy. Going to a soup sale.
That's great.
Look, the Bible says he didn't stop there. He's going to the witch next. Getting into witchcraft. He used witchcraft. You know, when you get into sin, you don't really have no peace.
That's right.
And every time a door pop open, you wondering who that's coming. Because you ain't got no peace. You wonder somebody coming to get you. And so what you start doing is trying to put a hex or spell on them You start trying to get them before they get you.
All right, preacher.
Go get me some powder and sprinkle around my house right quick. Make sure nobody comes into my house that I don't want. They see this white powder. They ain't coming past this white powder.
Go ahead, preacher. That's great.
He got into sorcery. That stuff on the outside, but this sorcery is some on the inside.
Go ahead, preacher.
Oh, we know it today as drugs. See, y'all thinking that drugs just came out in 60s and the 70s and the 80s and no, drugs been out a long time. This man done got into drugs now, going to the drug dealer. Sorcery. Trying to take something now to relieve the pain. Why do drug addicts get into drugs? They got into some problem that they can't handle, and as a result they're trying to take this. Somebody say, try this. So they try that. You know, they try the left-handed cigarettes. I'm right about it. That's a help. I'm right about it. I try this. Try this.
Go ahead, preacher.
You start putting stuff in your veins that fry your brain.
Yeah. All right. That's crazy.
He didn't stop there. He kept going. The Bible says he started consulting the medium and spiritists. Because he can't get no answer from God. God won't talk to me. And so now he's going, listen where he's going. He's going to the mediums. He's going to the spiritual. He's going to the underworld now. He's seeking their advice from the dead on behalf of the living. Now think about it. He's going to try to talk to the dead to help him to live. In other words, if he was living today, he would be calling up Miss Cleo. He would be calling up the psychic line. Trying to get some information from the dead about his future. He didn't stop there. Look at what else he done, verse 7. He even, I like how the King James Bible put this. He even set a carved image, the idol which he had made. What did he put it? In the house of God. Isn't that something? At first he was just putting idols because we want everybody to worship their God in their own way.
Go ahead, preacher.
We don't want to discriminate against anybody in our church. But now notice what he done. He done got so desperate rather than, you know, he had this little secret sin at home. This little idol at home. He done took this idol at home. He said, maybe I need to bring it on down there to the church. And maybe I'll get a blessing. Think about it, bringing an idol God into the house of God. But God been trying to talk with him. Look down here, verse number 9 and 10. It says, so Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nation whom the Lord had described before the children of Israel. Notice the Bible says Manasseh seduced them. Back in the day, we would say he tricked them. He duped them. Anybody know what I'm talking about if I say he duped them? He duped them into following him to do evil. You know, misery-like company. And the Bible says in verse 10, and the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. Bible says God was trying to talk with him, but he wouldn't listen. Somebody say, well, I didn't see God trying. Yes, he did. It's right there in the text. God, how do God try to talk to a man? He first talked to him through conscience. God has put a conscience on every man's heart. You know when you done something wrong. Everybody sitting in this room know right from wrong. Amen. And before you even do it sometimes, your conscience starts speaking to you. Say, now you know you're not supposed to be doing it. And you do that anyway. Your conscience even lets you know, now don't do that no more. Don't do that no more. But you can violate your conscience until you can't even hear that little voice no more. Bible says you can just like putting a hot iron over your conscience. It don't even work like it's supposed to work. But God don't stop giving up on talking to you. God will start talking to you through Christian servants. Yes, he will. You'll start bumping into church folks. You didn't even go to church, but you'll bump into somebody who's been there. And they'll start telling you about Jesus. They'll start telling you about what you know you're supposed to be doing when they see you out of your place. Christian servants. But if you don't listen to Christian servants, then God starts speaking to you through circumstance. Your circumstances don't work out. If this man tried to build altars in the temple of God, the house of God, that didn't work out. That didn't bless him. He got on a road where he got into soup sand. That soup sand didn't bless him. He started trying witchcraft. That witchcraft didn't bless him. God was trying to talk to him. Every time he would make a bad step, God would let something bad happen to him. And God would say, now will you trust me? But the man kept going. He went from soup sand to witchcraft. Then got into divination. Started seeking the mediums. And then he even went and bought an idol in the house of God. Nothing worked out for him. His life wasn't going right. That was the way God was trying to speak to him. Listen, listen. When God is talking to you and you keep running into like a brick wall, that's God's way of saying, I don't want you to go that way. But listen, listen. If you don't listen to your conscience, if you don't listen to Christian workers, if you don't listen to the bad circumstances, then God says, I'm going to have to chastise you. I'm going to have to whip you. And look what the Bible says in verse number 11. Therefore, somebody ought to say, therefore, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, to whom Manasseh, to whom took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze feathers, and carried him off to battle. Notice the Bible says, therefore, for that reason, because he wouldn't listen. I was talking to him through his conscience. I was talking to him through the prophets. I sent preachers into his life. I was talking to him through bad circumstances. Nothing was working out in his life. God said, I had to chastise. Had to whoop him. Had to spank him. And when God had to spank you, then you start experiencing personal losses. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, this man, he lost everything that he had. This man was the king. But now look at the king. The king now is in chains. The king now has got hooks in his nose and they're pulling it. And notice, the people came from Assyria, but they didn't take him just to the north of Israel in Assyria. They kept on going, not 100 miles away or 200, thousands of miles away. They took him all the way to Babylon. They took him to a place where you ain't coming back no more. This man lost everything. Can't you imagine the way that they used to do you back in Bible? They would make you pull off your clothes.
But you are the living word there now.
If you would like a copy of the message that you've just heard in its entirety, call the church office now at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or write to Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, 75062. You're also invited to worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.